1 John 2, please, this evening. So the book of 1 John is so practical, as you've seen. And it's, of course, written to Christians. And in chapter 1, we saw one of the most important truths for Christians in the entire Bible. And that was the importance of confession, right? Every Christian should know 1 John 1:9 by heart. If you don't, go home and learn it tonight. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Another great key of the Christian life is found here at the end of chapter 2, and that is, if we're going to be victorious, we must learn to abide in Christ. And this is all about abiding. Notice starting in verse 24 of chapter 2, the Bible says, "Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him." So I've just entitled the message, Abide. Let's pray. Lord, I pray use your word in our lives this evening. Thank you for the privilege to open it together tonight, Lord. And we just want to please you. And so we open our hearts now to hear from you and pray we'll leave changed by you. May Jesus meet with us now. In His name we pray. Amen. So you see the word abide showing up multiple times in this passage. And as I shared, this is one of the keys to the Christian life, as we'll see when we look at some of the cross-references in the Gospel of John. But he starts off by saying that, verse 24, first of all, the Word needs to abide in us. So there's a lot of abiding that you'll see in this passage. It's not just us abiding in Christ, but if we're going to live the life God wants us to live, which notice verse 29, He wants us to do righteousness. He wants us to actually live what we are. We're already righteous in Christ. He wants us to live a righteous life. Firstly, the Word needs to abide in us. Notice He says, "Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning." Well, what have they heard from the beginning? The Word of God. He wants the Word of God to abide in us. Notice up in verse 14, "I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." So He says to these young men, one of the reasons why you're strong is because the Word of God abides in you. And if we're going to be strong, the Word of God must abide in us. David said, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee," in Psalm 119:11. The Bible says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly," in Colossians 3:16. And then let's look at John 15:7. We'll probably look in John 15 a couple of times, but just for this time, look at John 15:7. We're talking about, firstly, God wants His Word to abide in us. Notice John 15:7. "If ye abide in Me, and My words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." So there's two abidings in that verse, so that's why we're going to be coming back to it. The abiding in Christ, which we'll talk about later. But for now, we're talking about the Word of God abiding in us. Without this, we're not going to have the Christian life God wants us to have. If we don't make it a habit to meditate on the Word of God, if we don't make it a habit to memorize the Word of God to the best of our ability and let it abide in us, then we're not going to be strong. We're not going to be the Christian that God wants us to be. And so the first abiding that we see taking place and is necessary for us to have the Christian life God wants us to have is the Word of God abiding in us. Now, go back to our passage. One of the things we find is if we're living the Christian life God wants us to live, then we will be able to stand against False doctrine. Did you notice he said there, verse 26, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you? He's writing to these Christians and he says, there are those who would seduce you. He's talking about with false doctrine. And he says, I'm writing these things unto you so that you can stand against that seduction. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. One aspect of putting on the whole armor of God is the Word of God, that it abides in us. So the first thing we see here is the Word of God must be abiding in us. And then this, notice in verse 27, but the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things in His truth, and is no lie, as even it hath taught you. So, the second abiding in this passage is the Holy Ghost. Did you see that? The anointing. Well, who's the anointing? That's the Holy Spirit of God. Go back to John 14, please. And verse 16. And so, what he's saying is, if you're born again, He already indwells you. That's a given. But, does He abide in you? And I believe God is saying that's a step further. That's being filled. That's being led. That's being controlled by the Spirit of God. Notice John 14, 16. And I will pray the Father, He shall give you another Comforter that He may abide with you forever. So He's already abiding with us. The day we got saved, He indwelled us. But I don't think that's what He's talking about here. He's talking about now letting Him control us. Fully abide in us. And he talks about this. Look at Romans chapter 8, if you would, and verse 5. And we'll look at a couple of other scriptures. So the first abiding is the Word of God abiding in us. The second abiding is letting the Holy Ghost abide in us in the sense of controlling us. Notice Romans 8, 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now God says in Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So He's saying that there's two things there. He's saying if we live in the Spirit, in other words, if we're born again, we have the Spirit. But are we walking in the Spirit? There's a difference. We can choose to not walk in the Spirit. We can choose to walk in the flesh. So God wants the Holy Spirit to be abiding in us, controlling us. That's why the Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but what? Be filled with the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, be filled. Well, if you're filled with something, then you're emptied of other stuff. Right? I.e. self, the flesh. So, if we're going to be the Christian God wants us to be, which is John's ultimate goal of this epistle, number one, the Word needs to abide in us. We've got to make the Word of God a vital part of our walk. Number two, the Holy Ghost must be controlling us, abiding in us to the point of we're walking in Him, we're filled with Him. And then, of course, number three, verse 27, you shall abide in Him, verse 28, and now, little children, abide in Him. Number three is now we need to abide in Christ. Say, what's the difference? Well, we'll talk about the difference. One is the Holy Ghost controlling us. Another is us, if you will, hiding in Christ, letting Him be our life. And this is what he talked about when up in verse 6 of chapter 2, he says, he that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk even as He walked. Look at chapter 3, verse 6. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. So God says if we're abiding in Christ, we're not sinning. If we're sinning, we're not abiding in Christ. The two are mutually exclusive. Now go to John 15 again. We'll look at a few other scriptures in here this time. And you'll be amazed at how many times the word abide shows up in just four verses in John 15. Notice starting in verse 4. Abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. I count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 occurrences of abide in those four verses. And it's mostly about us abiding in Jesus. Us allowing Jesus to be our all. We're resting in Him. You know, in the Old Testament, there's the phrase, we're underneath the everlasting arms. We sing that hymn. Abiding in Christ. That's why Jesus said there in verse 5 of John 15, without me, you can do nothing. If you don't abide in Christ, you can't accomplish anything for Christ. And so what Christ is telling us is we can't do it on our own. That's why Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So what Paul is saying is, the old man's dead, and now I'm living Jesus' life. I'm allowing him to live his life through me, because I'm crucifying self. I'm crucified with Christ. And the life which I live by the faith of the Son of God. So abiding in Christ, throwing ourselves into His arms, upon His mercy, and saying, Lord, I need You to take control of my life because I'm not doing a very good job at it. Abiding in Christ. So we've got three abides in this little passage here. The Word of God abiding in us, the Holy Ghost controlling us, and us abiding in Christ. And John says, that's the key to victory. Notice he finishes in verse 28. That when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. So God says that if we're abiding in Christ, if the Holy Ghost is abiding in us, if the Word of God is abiding in us, not only will we be able to stand against the seducers, which He mentions there in verse 26, but we'll be ready for His return. We'll have confidence. We won't be ashamed. When Jesus blows the trumpet, we'll be ready. And I think God wants us to be confident. Look at Philippians 1:6, where Paul uses the word confident. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Notice what he said here. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's okay to be confident in the Word. Paul said, I'm confident of my security in Christ. I'm confident that I'm saved because the Word tells me I am. God wants us to be confident that we're ready for Jesus. And we won't be unless the Word is abiding in us, the Holy Ghost is controlling us, and we are abiding in Christ. Because what did Jesus say? Without me, you can do nothing. And yet, how much do we try to do in our own strength? How much do we try to accomplish without Him? And He says it's for nothing if it's not through Him. So He not only saved us and indwells us, but He's also the one who empowers us to accomplish what He wants us to accomplish. He's there to make it real. So what an amazing truth in this little passage. John says, I want the Word to abide in you. I want the Holy Ghost, the anointing, to abide in you. And I want you to abide in Christ. And if you'll do these things, you can stand against the seducers. And you'll be confident when the trumpet blows. So abide. What a great reminder. Let's pray.